She came out to see if I'm still preaching. He's quite a friend. He's quite a, well, a good friend. We enjoy one another. Amen. What a good God. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture to begin with today, found in the 10th chapter of John. If I can get this thing working. 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, the 10th verse. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let me read it again. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So let me clarify something to begin with. The thief that is mentioned here in this verse is none other than the devil himself. It is Abaddon, Apollyon, Beelzebub, Belial, Satan. It's the devil, the thief. And his mission or his agenda is threefold: to steal and to kill and to destroy, the Bible says. And I want you to think about it. The devil is a created being, and he was brought into existence by the Almighty God, a holy and a righteous God himself. And when God created him, he was not evil. He was not the destroyer. He was not the devil. In fact, the Bible says he was a beautiful angel. He was Lucifer, the son of the morning. He was an angelic being that was a messenger of the Almighty God. In fact, Ezekiel says that he was the leader of the music in heaven. Let me just read something from the book of Ezekiel. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Lucifer was the son of the morning, angelic being in charge of the music. In fact, I cannot prove this from the Bible, but I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that Lucifer was one of the three archangels. Some people teach that there were seven archangels, but I believe that he was one of three: Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And he was perfect. God made him perfect. In fact, let me say this today: everything God does is good. He doesn't make any mistakes. He made Lucifer. And he was one of those ministering cherubs down there in the glory world, ministering unto the Lord. But there came a time in his life when he got lifted up within himself. And I've read the 14th chapter of Isaiah. This man, this person, Lucifer, this angelic being, rebelled against God. Listen to his words in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will. I will. I will. He wanted to be God. And I want to make a statement here. Maybe you haven't heard it along these lines, but I believe the first time it came to his mind, in his thoughts, I will, I believe sin began. When he lifted himself up, rebelled against God, sin had its beginning, and you know the story. Because of that sin in his life, he was cast out of heaven. He was cast out to this earth. And I thought, with that background, and we've been studying the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights. We have now come to the 12th and 13th chapter for this Wednesday night, but some weeks ago when we were starting the book of Genesis, we read in the first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the second verse says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And I talk and I believe that during that time, from the first verse to the second verse, is the time that Satan was cast out of heaven. Lucifer was cast down to this earth. He's rebelled against God. He's cast out to the earth. And when he was cast out to the earth, he made a mess of it. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But emptiness was out there, and let me leave something with you today. Whether it's the earth, or a nation, or a church, or a family, or an individual, if the devil is there, there's darkness and emptiness. He's the one that brings the light. He is the light. Thank God. Thank God. Think about it, if you will. From the moment that Satan rebelled against God in the heavens, a battle has raged. There has been a battle between good and evil and sin and righteousness and right and wrong. And then from the day that I've read here in John chapter 10 about Satan, how that Lucifer, how the devil is out to destroy, how that he is out to steal, kill, and destroy, I want you to know that Jesus was saying to us that you and I are participants in the battle. We are in a fight. We're in a warfare. According to the Bible, whatever comes our way, the devil is out, I know, to steal whatever we hold dear in our lives. He's out to steal our salvation. He's out to steal our joy. He's out to steal our happiness. He is out to steal our health. He's out to steal our very lives. And I'm going to add one other thing. He's out to steal your children. And he'll do everything he can to get them. Let me just leave something else in your minds today. Molly's given me a sign, but I think the battery that I've got, Molly, doesn't work, so we'll just cancel it today. Let me give you something else along the lines of this. What Satan is out to do and what he will take. He'll take your children, and if we're not careful, he'll cause you and me to get bitter because things don't turn out like we thought. Satan is mean. He's a liar. In fact, he's the father of all lies. He'll steal whatever he can. Not only that, the Bible says he's killed. He'll kill you. And he'll destroy everything that you hold dear to your heart today. Not a lot to get excited about. I know what I've just said. Not anything that I've said right then is something to shout about or rejoice about, but I want you to stay with me right now. There's some good news. I've got good news for you. Like the preacher said last Sunday night, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Let me say that again. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. In essence, the prophet Elisha is the one that said that to his servant. But in essence, he was saying the same thing that the Apostle John said some 1,000 years later. The prophet Elisha said, they're more with us than they are with him. And then John came along and said, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And if Jesus is in you, brother, you're on the right track. Well, praise God, praise God. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And I'm glad that I can testify this morning that he, the one that is greater, is living in me today. Amen. He lives in my heart and in my life. Thank God. One day, he knocked at my heart's door, and I opened it, invited him to come in. Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. He knocked at my heart's door a long time ago. I opened the door, he came in, he settled down, he began to abide, and he still abides today. He's a good person to have in your heart. If you don't know him, I encourage you to invite him in. He's the best friend you'll ever have. Thank God, thank God. There's a song that we've sung, I know, there's no doubt about it, he lives in my heart and I'm going to shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to that place called heaven. I'm saying today, yes, I know that he is in my heart. And let me leave this with you today. If he lives in your heart, if you know he's alive in your life, if you've accepted him as your Savior, why don't you say amen this morning? Amen, amen, amen. We've got something to shout about. Thank God, thank God. The battle that I mentioned, that I would preach about this morning between the devil and mankind, has been going on from the time that Adam was in the garden until this morning. But the outcome has already been decided and determined. Let me leave something with you and hold on to this. If you forget everything else, Christians win. If you're a Christian today, you're on the winning side. Hallelujah. That ought to be enough to shout about and rejoice about. We are victorious. We are. Last Wednesday night, when Tom was taking care of the preliminaries, and we were asked to sing Victory in Jesus. And maybe most of all of you know that that is the song that I was singing that Sunday afternoon, just before God healed Mike the next morning of the brain tumor. God gave me victory in my heart. Although when I left Mike in the hospital, it looked as if he was going to die. Listen closely. When you've got the victory, brother, you are victorious. You've got something to rejoice about and shout about. And the good part about it is we can have the victory all the time. I like that scripture in 2 Corinthians, where Paul said, "For we are always triumphant. Always triumphant in Christ Jesus. Always." I've got it jotted down somewhere. Let me see if can I find it. I don't guess I can. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." I like that. Christians are winning. Christians are winners. We win when you read the rest of the Bible. We win.
Amen.
Thank God, thank God. The prophet Isaiah said, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Let me say that again. Isaiah, the prophet of God, lived 700 years ago, said, "No weapon formed against thee shall prosper." It will all be for naughty sake. Let the devil do whatever he wants to do. Let him brag. And let him boast of what he's going to do. And let him marshal the troops. And let him bring out the big guns. The Bible said they will all fail because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Brother, there's three or four opportunities to shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell the story, and you know it since you're children if you've been to Sunday school. The story of the giant and David. When David heard him defying God, something was stirred up in David's heart. David was not bragging, David was not boasting. Really what he was doing is saying, "My God will take care of him." And so the Bible says that the giant was 9 feet tall. The tallest man I've ever seen at one time was the tallest man in the world. He was 8 feet 3 inches tall. I saw him in Glendale, Arizona, back in the 60s. I don't know who the tallest man is now, but this man, Goliath, was 9 feet high. The Bible said he had a helmet of brass. He was armed with a coat of mail that weighed 195 pounds. We think about our military yonder on the battlefield and all of that they carry. Man, I'm glad I was in the Air Force. 195 pounds, the coat of mail that he had, the graves of brass were on his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the Bible said the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 23 pounds. Just the spearhead. Not only that, the Bible says he had an armor bearer that went out before him with a shield to shield him from anything that was coming his way. He was well covered. I was getting ready to say he was bulletproof, but he thought he was stoneproof maybe. He was well armed. He was ready for battle. He had the weapon in his hand. When David went out against him with a sling and a handful of stones, he mocked and laughed and ridiculed and said to David, in essence, "I will feed your carcass to the birds and the wild animals. When I finish with you, you'll be a meal for the buzzards and the wild animals. I will tear you from limb to limb, coming out against me with no armor, with no sword, with no shield, nothing but a sling and a handful of stones. And you know the rest of the story, how that when the battle was over, Goliath, the giant of the Philistines, the champion of the Philistines, was lying dead on the ground, and his head had been severed by his own sword. That David had come and taken the sword and cut his head off and held it up. And when he did, the Philistine army began to realize that our champion is dead, and they began to scatter. And God gave a great victory to the people of the Lord on that day. Why? Because one person had faith in God. One person believed that God could give the victory. Do we have that one person today here? You believe it, Sam? You believe it real? God will give the victory. Hallelujah. He's God in this world. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. God has said through Isaiah, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And now here is David. As we look back, here is David that went against Goliath, but whatever the giant had, it would not prosper against God's man. And listen closely, whatever the devil brings against you, whatever weapon he might have to destroy you, it will not prosper if you'll serve God and obey God. That's another verse that Isaiah. Just another page. If you turn the page, you find not only that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, but he said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him. And I say, amen, amen. It is great to be on the side with the Lord. I got a call last week from a friend of mine that I went to grammar school with. I graduated in 1948. That's a long time ago. I've seen him one time. Since 1948, he came right to this church and visited with me when he was here on a vacation one time. He lived in Arkansas, now he lives in Florida. He called me the other day to just talk, to visit. In the course of the conversation, we were going over some things about school days and grammar school and Fox Hill and Hampton High School and all the rest, talking about things and reminiscing and remembering the various things that went on. And I remember when, Charlie Bright was his name, and as he was talking about us playing ball and the rest, I remember as a youngster how that we would choose up sides and play ball, Fox Hill. And you know, if the boys that were doing the choosing were older, and the group was older, you were usually one of the last ones to be chosen if you were the young ones. Were you ever there? And then there came a time when I was in the seventh grade and I was one of the old ones. And we would choose up sides, and we never really knew. Sometimes I really thought I knew because of the people that was on our team that I thought we were going to win before we started. But we never really knew. I read in the Bible that when I got saved, I went on the winning side. And I know who's going to win. Right. I played a lot of ball, and I loved it when I was, before we got saved. I played a lot of ball. And sometimes on Sunday afternoon and Sunday nights, I played a lot of ball before I got saved. But when I got saved, I never played another time on the Sunday. Missed another service to play ball because there's something more important than playing ball. It's serving God. Now, go about how many times I played for different teams and in the Air Force and the Fox Hill and the rest, and I never might not have known who was going to win, but I can tell you today, I know the winner. I know whose side I'm on, and I'm on the side of the Lord. And let me leave this for you today. He's never lost a battle. Man, you can't do that. Get lined up with the Lord that has never lost a battle. Let Satan do what he will. Let him come against you with whatever he has. Every trial, every trouble, every tribulation, every hardship, every sickness, whatever he might bring against you, we're going to win. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. This is the best life in the world.
Yes, it is.
This is it. You can't find anything better. Anywhere. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And when the enemy comes, our God will lift up a standard against him. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. And you'll always win the victory. The verse I just read from Isaiah, and I want to clarify this, was really not talking about us, about the enemy coming in like a flood, although we are sure involved in that. Isaiah was prophesying about the Antichrist, about at the end of the tribulation when the Lord Jesus shall return from heaven with the saints. Read that in the 19th chapter of Revelation. How that the Lord is going to ride out of heaven on a white stallion, dressed in white robes, pure and white. And the armies of the Lord, the angelic beings as well as the saints of God, we're going to ride out of heaven with white robes. We're coming back to this earth slowly. And while we're descending to this earth, the Bible says, and every eye shall see Him. All the peoples of the world that's left behind and that's living on this world during the tribulation time, every eye shall see Him. He's going to alight at the Mount of Olives. He's going to dismount. He's going to stay there for a moment and then He's going to toss the sheep on a barrier. He's going over into Jerusalem. He's going to the eastern gate, and He's going to gather away in 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. And oh my goodness, and closeness. So what I'm telling you right now, when He comes again, we're coming with Him as victorious saints of God, shining the high praise of God. We're coming to the battle of Armageddon, but the battle's already been decided. He's going to speak the word, and the battle's going to be won. Man is going to be on His side. Brother Leon Stewart used to say, my. Well, you don't know anything else to say, just my. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are on the winning side.
Yes.
Brother John, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't have to know. If you love God, you're on the winning side. Why doesn't this happen? Why doesn't this happen? Why doesn't this happen? I don't know that. And I know one thing, He's God.
Yes.
What He has done, He can do.
Right.
What a Savior, what a mighty God, what a blessed Redeemer. His hours a day. Christians, men, we are victorious. And although this prophecy was about the Antichrist, how that the Lord will lift up a standard against him, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him in the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation period. It's for us believers as well today, for you and me. The Lord is the captain of our salvation. Hallelujah. He is the Christ of glory. He, I mentioned a moment ago, He has never lost a battle. He's always victorious. And if I will enlist in His army, if I will serve Him, if I will obey Him, I will never go down to defeat. The answer is victory. Like I mentioned all ago, we were singing victory in Jesus last Wednesday night. And I want to tell you today, it's still victory today. Hallelujah. You don't leave the victory when you leave the church. The victory is ours wherever we are. Amen. It just doesn't get any better than this. Say, Brother Jones, we haven't reached our glorified body yet. I'm talking about in this natural body. It just doesn't get any better than knowing that God is always there with us. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Turn there with me if you will. Ephesians chapter number 6. We're talking about a battle and we are in a warfare. Every one of us. The battle is raging. I'm going to read the familiar scriptures beginning with the 10th verse. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all else, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want you to notice the armor of the Christian warrior. That's given us to protect us from all the enemy that might bring against us all the fiery darts. He says in that scripture, the truth and the righteousness and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. All of these are our weapons. All of these are our part of our armor to keep us from being defeated by the enemy. If we will put on truth, if we will gird ourselves with righteousness and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, the devil will not be able to get to us. Put on the whole armor. Again, let me mention, I was in the military. I was in the service in the Air Force during the Korean War. I was on vacation when the Korean War broke out on furlough, and I was called back to my home base by President Truman, sending us a telegram saying, return to your home base immediately. In the Air Force, you don't have rifles and helmets and all that kind of stuff. He said to you on the day, they had it, but we didn't wear it. We didn't need it. We didn't use it. When we arrived in Japan, they called us in and gave us a helmet. Steel helmet. The liner of mine could not be adjusted, and you could almost spin it on your head. I'm glad I never had to go to war with that thing on my head. They gave us a, was it an M6C? Right. Whatever. I thought about that a lot of times. They had dug fart holes all on Yokota Air Force Base because if Japan was to be hit because by the Chinese and the North Koreans and because of America now being in that area, and they had fart holes, and sometimes we would get out there as Air Force men play war games in the fart holes. I thought many times, thank God we never had to go to the battlefield. We would have been sunk. I would have been sunk. I thought about that helmet a lot of times. I want you to know that what Paul is talking about, the armor of God, everything will fit you right to a T.
Right.
Right. And what fits someone else might not fit you. God's got it right down the line for you. Everything you need to live a victorious life, he's got. Everything the enemy. Listen to this. What I read in those scriptures about the helmet of salvation and about how the gospel being what? All of that is defensive armor to keep the enemy from defeating me, to getting to me, to the body of God destroying me. But he says, I'll give you two weapons of warfare. Two weapons of offense. What I've already told you is to keep the enemy from getting to you. But now I'm going to give you something to get to the enemy. I'm going to give you the Word of God. And I'm going to give you prayer. And if you take the Word of God, the weapon of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the truth of God's Word, and back it up with prayer, you can't lose.
Right. Amen.
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. But I like the next words. But I am come. But I am come, said Jesus,
amen,
that you might have life, and that you might have it more than life. The sign, the name of our church on the sign is not just put out there just for something to show.
Right.
We believe in abundant life.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not talking now about the organization of this church, or the membership of this church per se. I'm talking about we believe in real life.
Yes.
Abundant life.
Right.
This is the best life. I wish I could share it with the whole world. I wish I could tell the world how I feel.
Right.
I wish everyone would understand the joy of salvation. Amen.
Yes.
When you go into a physical time in life, if you're saved, you're winning.
Yes.
I'm going to preach the funeral tomorrow. I have another church. I've learned a lot of things about Ben that I did not know, but something that I talked to him about. May the 14th, in room 453, in Riverside Hospital. I've been called several times, and I've been admitted in the nursing home and back in the hospital. And looked as if he was going to be leaving the same time. And Sue called me and said, Brother Jones, could you talk to him about his soul? Been married almost 47 years. Haven't been to church doors, came here sometime, but not very often.
just before I was 20 years old, Redden was out of it, like in a coma. Wasn't responding, wasn't talking, wasn't responding to anything. I didn't know all that, but when I got there, just as soon as I got there, Sue said, "This is amazing. He's talking." Says, "What's going on?" "He's talking." That's God. I was able to talk with him. He's been in the hospital in the nursing home for a long, long time. He's had time to pray. I asked him about his soul, about his condition with the Lord, about his spirit with the Lord. He'd like you to know, "Well, Joan, I've been praying. I'm asking you to forgive me and all this world to put me into the world." Sue began to cry. Sue was very sad. She began to cry, standing beside me. Listen to what he said, the last word he said to me. He said, "I love the Lord with all of my heart." And then he said these words, "And I love Sue." I thought, that's all right. I am not a judge. I do not assign anyone to heaven nor to hell. I thought when I left that room that day, I felt a whole lot better than I did when I went in. For somebody to know that he's dying, and lets me know it's praying, and he's asked God to forgive him if everything's all right.
Yes.
If everything's all right in your heart this morning and you know it, you are blessed for it.
Amen.
You're a child of the King this morning on the winning side. You've got something to shout about it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a God. What a mighty God. What a blessed Redeemer. And I'll leave it with you today. I'm going to close as my wife comes to the piano. The thief, the devil, comes not but more to steal and to kill and destroy. But don't ever stop there. Jesus said, I have done. I come from the sea.
Yes.
I come from glory. I come from the earth. Hallelujah. I come to seek and to save my man to God. I come to redeem mankind. I come to die. I come to pour out my life's blood. I come to say, hallelujah. 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 I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Well, praise God. I am promised you might have life. And that you might have it all but one today. Hallelujah. Brother, this thing is yours. And you don't enjoy it this morning, why not before you leave this house? Why not today? What do I have to do, Brother John? What do I have to give up everything? What do I have to give to God everything? Not too high voice. Keep it and lose it. Give to God and gain. It's the best life in the world. I encourage everybody to serve God. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Thank God. We just stand together.